Everyone, good morning. I am very excited this morning. I am excited because I get to share a sermon series with you that comes very close to my own heart, that touches me in a special way. It is about video games. And half of you are about ready to leave. But no, stay with me. I like playing video games. I have liked playing video games since... Well, anyhow, I really enjoy video games. There's no way around it. I'm going to end up dating myself this morning. Some of you are going to be like, oh, a dinosaur. And that's okay. Because to be able to talk about Jesus and to be able to use video games to help me get there is one of the greatest things I think I've ever had the privilege of doing in life. Children, yeah, sure, they're okay. Being married, I mean, yeah, okay, all right. But Jesus in video games? Are you kidding me? When we were planning out the series that we were going to go through this year, and as I was thinking about how to develop them, I got goosebumps. And then my goosebumps got goosebumps. And then, well, anyway, you get the point. I'm really excited about this. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want to address the concerns. Some of you might say, I have never played video games, Pastor Devin. I will pray for you. I hope that you can find this joy sometime. Some of you might say, there's no way I'm going to be able to relate because I don't do that. False. If you pay attention, there's something you can relate to here. But the medium that I want to use to get us there, just to be clear, video games. When I was young, there were many a day, or at least part of a day, oh, who are we kidding, a summer that would go by, and Super Mario was just decimating every brick in the game. Contra, for those that are in the know, I could beat that game, and it would loop you back to the beginning once you beat it, and I could beat it again, back to the beginning. My parents would be like, Devin, your eyes look like raisins. I don't think you've used the bathroom this weekend. Maybe it's time to stop. I'd be like, beat it again. It was awesome. So what I want to share with you this morning is the idea, and through this series, the idea of power up. And just like plugging in a light that goes from an average black box to flashing colors all over the place, which for me would have been a distraction if Jeff had left it in. If you've played any video games, you know that the main character that a really good video game, whatever the key item, if it's a spaceship, it's a person, whatever the key character is, you know they don't stay the same throughout the game. A good video game, your character evolves. Your character, are you ready for this? Powers up. In fact, they came up with the term from video games that you get power-ups that enhance your character. Let me give you a few flavors that you might be familiar with. Mario would get a grow mushroom, and you can all hear that noise, and I wanted to get all the little sound bites and load them, and I didn't. But Mario would get that grow mushroom, and instead of just Mario like hopping around, he was twice the size, he had the ability to break blocks, and he was powered up. Galaga, those that liked Galaga, you had the spaceship, and you could scroll back and forth and like blast the aliens. What could you get in Galaga? That's right, a second ship. What did it do for you? Oh, this is clever. It gave you twice the firepower. Boom, it was a power-up. RPGs, role-playing games, some people get really into these. Some people get too into these. But role-playing games, the whole idea, you're playing the role of a character who evolves throughout the game. The whole game is leveling up, powering up. Even Pac-Man. Raise your hand, because I think I'm safe here, if you've ever heard of, seen, or played Pac-Man. Thank you. Pac-Man, you went around and you did what? Somebody tell me. There were 15 of you that did this. Bless you. That was Pac-Man until you hit a power pellet. Pac-Man would power up. The ghost would turn blue and be like, he's been munching pellets all day. Now he's going to eat me. This is not fair. Same thing my dinner says when I sit down. But Pac-Man could get a power up too. This is how it went. It took an average character in the video game and made them even better. So when we talk about power ups, I'm not going to throw a grow mushroom at you. I think the United Methodist Church frowns upon pastors handing out mushrooms. I'm not going to stay in video game realm the whole time. I'm saying, how can we, as average people, maybe average Christians, power up, go up a level? How can we be one step better than what we are? Power ups make good characters into even better characters. We can power up from being good people or good disciples to even better followers of Christ. So through this series, I'm going to use video games to help me, but one of the standout, recognizable, all-time great power-ups is still widely recognized with this phrase, and this hits a certain generation, so if you don't know it, that's all right. But one of the greatest power-ups in the arcade of all time, people still know today, and kids still know today, by the phrase, "He's on fire! NBA Jam." Do we have that we can throw up there? Boom! How many of you have played NBA Jam? Yes! There are some. I loved NBA Jam in the arcade. When NBA Jam came out, it was revolutionary because they had real NBA players. They tried to recreate their likeness at the time in 32 bits. Michael Jordan, block, 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 block. Anyway, they had actual licensed NBA players, actual licensed NBA teams. This had never happened before. And they had the super cool ability. If you made 3 shots in a row, you were on fire. That did not mean your character was like, ah, ah! It, on fire, man. Do we have an image of that? Yes, you could do stuff like that. You go from playing basketball to dominating your opponent. You could dunk from half court. You could shoot a shot backwards with no hands and it would go in. You could take rebounds. They could deflate the ball. You would rebound an inflated ball. If you were on fire, you were unstoppable. It was such a good power-up. Here's the deal with NBA Jam. Some of you didn't have the privilege of playing this in the arcade. And again, you can purchase a unit for like $3,500. It might be worth it. In NBA Jam, the power-up was being on fire, but this was the deal. They were so innovative when they did this. First of all, it was one of the early 4-player arcade consoles. 2 on this team, 2 on this team, and you put in, at the time, 50 cents a play. That seemed a little high, because a lot of games were quarter games, okay? But 50 cents a play, here's what they did. Like a pickup basketball game, winners stayed and losers walked. If you beat the other 2 people, you got to keep playing. That was revolutionary. You didn't need to put any more quarters in. You were good, so you got to stay. Oh, it was everything everybody wanted to play at the time. I loved NBA Jam, and I do remember, and this is such a specific memory in my mind, I'm going to get carried away, but I promise Jesus will come along. I remember it was one of my friends, I don't know what birthday party, but he was having it at the local fun entertainment zone that had an arcade that had NBA Jam. Here's what I normally did for NBA Jam. I'd be like, oh, I'm ready to watch these guys play. Because I was no good. I was no good. I was, in fact, pathetic. NBA Jam, I'd be like, yeah, like NBA Jam. Kids would talk about it at school. Oh, yeah, that's an awesome game. They'd be like, who do you play with? I don't, because I'm terrible. And I would sit around and I'd watch people play. I'd be like, oh, he dunked on you. Turn around like, shut up. Okay, yeah. He's on fire! Then the game would say, he's on fire! But I called it. And I would watch, and I would sit on the side, and I would be greatly entertained by people playing. And I remember a couple of guys that were just game after game after game. Nobody could beat them, so they got to stay. Virtually, you could turn 50 cents into hours, if you were sick enough, days of arcade experience, as long as you could keep winning. And I would never play, because I just knew I was the manure on the court somebody would trip on. My friends would be like, hey, you want to play? I'm like, yeah, you want to play with him, though, so I can watch. And I remember this birthday party. Sorry, I got off track. This birthday party, my friend set it up so you had, I don't know, a bazillion quarters or tokens that you could use at this arcade. And my friend says to me, it's his birthday. He's got the arcade picked out. And he says, Devin, let's do some NBA Jam. I want to say yes because it's your birthday. So I agreed. I'm going to play NBA Jam with you. And there were 2 guys looking at us like, you're going to lose at NBA Jam and we're going to be here all day. And he's like, I've got this. Come on. The decision for me wasn't what character am I going to pick. The decision for me wasn't what team are we going to be. Some people were particular, like, do you play on the left side of the unit or do you play on the right side of the unit? The decision for me wasn't which side am I going to play on. The decision was, am I going to be in this game. And that's what I want to look at for today. You can't even get a power-up. There was 0% chance of me being on fire if I wasn't playing the game. And that's a decision that we all have to make at some point. Are we going to be in Ready Player One? Are you going to step up? Are you going to play the game? Because you can't get a power-up until you play. And some of you say, you promised us Jesus. Here we go. Here we go. I want to talk about this looking at Moses, who's a feller in our Old Testament. That's the way long ago portion of the Bible. 2,000 years is nothing. I'm talking way back. Moses was the person that was chosen by God to lead the Israelites, God's chosen people, out of captivity. God had said, I'm going to use these people to be my chosen nation, and they're going to be different, again, holy, if you will. They're going to be an example to the other nations. This particular group of people, I will bring out, and they will live their lives in such a way that others say, aha, we can know the Creator through them. This was God's plan. So Moses has led them out of captivity, and they are making their way to the promised land, which is the land God promised to them. Cool. And before all the adventures and everything that happens, there's this really important point where they're in the wilderness, and God's about to hand down what you've certainly heard of, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Biggies. God's about to give those as the rules to this chosen people, to the Israelites, so they'll know how to live. But before that happens, you're like, oh yeah, Ten Commandments, and oh yeah, what's the guy that plays that in the movies and the every Easter? I don't know, anyway. Thank you, Charlton Heston. Before all of that, before the Ten Commandments, before the fights about do we put them on property, before they receive these rules, before the wandering in the wilderness, before the promised land, God's chosen people, the people that he saved from captivity and brought out and promised a land to, before they get the commandments, here's what happens. This is in Exodus chapter 19. On the first day of the third month, at approximately 4:44 p.m., I added that, that's not in there. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Moses went up the mountain to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, what you are to tell the people of Israel. This is what you're to say to them, Moses. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Now, this is important. This is where it gets to the meat. Verse 5, now, if, remember, God's telling us to Moses to say this to the people. So say this to this nation I have chosen. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, my commands, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the entire earth is mine, although everything else is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy, a set apart, a separate nation. These are the words you were to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned all the elders, the leaders of the people, and sat before them all of the words that the Lord had commanded him, laid out. This is what God says. Put that all before them. And the people responded together. Are you ready for this? And the people responded together. We will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And then 10 commandments. And then promised land. And then kingdoms, and then Jesus, and everything else. But it started with this kind of contract moment, and God's not big on contracts. So I want to look at it as an invitation moment where I have freed you. where God says, you're going to be my people. Listen, all you have to do is follow me and try and do that carefully. I invite you to be special. The whole earth is mine, and I love everybody in it and all the other nations. You don't get along with them, but they're cool. Trust me. But if you will focus on me, you will be special, you will be blessed, and you will carry my glory out to the rest of the world. And they said, okay, we can do that. That was their response together. The people said, we're in. This is an agreement that's being made. But again, it started with an invitation from God. The people were invited to follow exclusively and worship exclusively the one true God. And if they would do that, everything else was theirs. God would provide it. But here's the deal. If they had said no, sometimes you have to do this with Scripture. What if they had said no? What if they had said, we've heard what we need to do, and you want us to listen to you? No! Well, God could have left them in the wilderness and made them watch Brady Bunch reruns. I mean, I suppose he could have been like, back to captivity then, if you will follow me, and you know, I don't know how it would have gone, but here's what I can promise. They would never have known all of the blessings that God had for them, including at this time, the big one of the Ten Commandments and the Promised Land. If they had said, nope, thanks for the invite, but we have an appointment with whatever they'd have had an appointment with at that time, and we just can't do this, God, they would never have had the blessings that God had for them. And again, take that back to my arcade experience. I loved NBA Jam. It was the greatest concept at the time. I could never get the privilege of the little announcer in the game saying, Devin, you're on fire, unless I played. And it's the same for us today. I think God stands before each and every one of us and makes an invitation. Certainly, we see that in Jesus Christ, but in so many other areas of life, so many other facets of what we believe, the invitation is right before you. There's so much I have for you, so much that I want to do through you and with you, so much I want to show you, so much I want to teach you, so much I want to help you with. Will you follow me? Are you in? And so many times our response is, I've got this and it's really important, so maybe after that. So many times our response is no, because I've been doing pretty well so far. I want it my way, and I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to do what I do. Thank you, though, for the offer. So many times our response is, that sounds scary, or I don't fully understand, or I'm just not sure at this point, so no. Hey, you will never power up. You will never level up. You will never be on fire. You will not do that unless you agree to enter in. Unless I took my friend's invitation that day to play, I would never have become the absolute master of NBA Jam that stands before you. Unless you say, God, even if I don't fully understand, and even if I don't know what's ahead, and even if there's a lot of other things that want my attention, I'm going to give it to you. You will never, 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 should I say it? I'm going to say it. Never, never, never level up from where you are. And I'm not trying to be insulting this morning. I don't like to insult people. Well, sometimes it's fun, but you should not insult people. I'm not trying to insult you, but some of you have been in the same spot in your faith since you were a child. Some of you have not grown at all, only physically, not spiritually. You have not matured in your faith. You have not encountered a God-sized power-up in your life. And it's because you continue to keep God at arm's length. Like, I go to church and that's it. That's good. Thank you. Now I don't want any more. And God's saying, take a step deeper. See what we can do together. No, I'm good. I'm in church. Shazam! Some of you are afraid of what that would hold. you see maybe a Christian that's out there that gives all of us a bad name, and you're like, I don't want to be that. And that's not a good representation of what you would be. God seeks to mature you and make you even more amazing than you already are. Just like a power-up makes a good character great, God wants to take you from I'm doing good to I'm awesome, but you keep refusing it because you're not sure. Some of you are skeptical about the whole Jesus thing. You're like, you're telling me because of a zombie I can have eternal life? Basically, that's a story you're giving me, and it's so much more than that. But for whatever reason, there are those of you out there who have not matured, and sometimes you ask the question, well, why doesn't this happen? Or why don't I grow? Or why am I not like that person? Because you've not accepted the invitation before you, and you've stayed where you are, and you will continue to be exactly what you are. Wouldn't you like to power up? Wouldn't you like to be on fire? Wouldn't you like to grow? I don't know what that looks like for all of you. You know, maybe for some, it's just starting. It's simply saying, I am willing to follow Jesus, and I've never really done that. Sure, I've heard of Jesus. Sure, I've heard people talk about Jesus, but I'll be honest, and I don't know the first thing about him, so I'm going to start trying to learn and follow today. And that's all you have to do. That's the beginning. That's the invitation that's available. You can power up from there, and that's the first step. You're saying, I'm in that way. Maybe for some of you, you've just not taken the time to invest in your faith. You've not done anything that would help you grow. And so for you, saying, I'm in, is saying, you know what? I'm in. I'm going to take an active role in my faith. I'm going to try and learn and grow. I don't know what it looks like for all of you, but I know. And I know because I've been there too. There are times that God stands before you with an invitation. Who knows what it holds? Who knows how it's going to grow you? But I promise you this, you'll never know if you don't take it. You will never know. For my own life, not something a lot of people can relate to, but just to lay it out there again, I had a comfortable job. I had everything I needed as far as employment. And I remember the invitation that God placed on my heart through a pastor that learned to know me well and said, Devin, I mean, seriously, you could do something in ministry. He's probably crying if he could see me now. But he said, Devin, if you'll just enter into ministry, God placed that before me. I could have said, no, God, I have money. I have corporate office. I have other stupid stuff. And so I don't want what you're offering. But I said, I don't know what that's going to look like, and I don't even know where I'm going to live. I don't know how my wife's going to take this. I don't know if the people are going to accept me. I don't know if I can do what you want me to do, but I'm in. And from there, God sometimes has used me, and God has certainly blessed me. What's the opportunity you have to be in? You need to take it. You need to be brave, and you need to step forward and say, I'm in. Because the power-ups and the rest of what we're going to talk about through this series, they are just waiting for you. I promise the best and greatest opportunities of your life are those that you find on the path of God. But if you say, I'm out, you will never see them.